You are Locked On Suns, your daily Phoenix Suns podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Basketball is back, and so are we here on Locked On Phoenix Suns. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Brendan Kleen. I write about the Suns and the NBA at SB Nation, Dime Up Rocks, Aussie, Fansided, all over the place, and that means that you come here to see not only what's up with your Phoenix Suns, but how it fits into the conversation of the day. You can follow our show on Twitter at LockedOnPHXSuns, on Instagram as well. You can follow me on Twitter at BrendanKleen14. Please, if you like the show, follow us, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, wherever you get podcasts. And if you're new to the show, give us a chance here. I am so excited to join you guys to talk about real Suns basketball for the first time. Preseason game number one in Salt Lake City. Preseason game number two happening shortly after most of you hear this, but the Jazz will be the opponent once again, so it's worth taking a minute here, taking a step back and seeing what happened in game number one against the Utah Jazz. It was a 119 to 105. See, preseason scores, you can tell how much attention I'm paying because it doesn't actually matter all that much the outcome of the game, but there was plenty of takeaways from this one. So I'll dive into all of that with you guys. I will also walk you through what is going on with Chris Paul because he was out for game number one. Nothing to panic about in my opinion, but worth discussing because he also discussed his overall outlook. I think his health and his kind of status, routine, rest situation has been the topic of discussion. I've talked about it. A lot of my guests have talked about it on the show, and I know a lot of Suns fans are worried. What if this great player that the team just acquired has to sit a little bit? So let's get into that right now because Paul missed the game with a right ankle soreness, and Monty pregame basically said, it's just a matter of taking things easy, slow for some of the veteran players. Dario Saric also did not play in the game. Neither did Jay Crowder. So what does that mean? Well, I would say with regard to Paul, I won't really talk about Saric or Crowder because it's not all that concerning. Those are younger guys, not that big of a deal. But with regard to Paul, the first thing to note is that Paul only played one preseason game for the Thunder last season. So he got traded, normal offseason. I mean, aside from being traded, no coronavirus, no bubble coming back from the bubble, no condensed weird free agency, whatever. Long training camp, normal training camp, everything as plain as can be, and Paul still only played one preseason game, and that was the first one in that case. But they had three games. He only played one. Just a data point to say nobody should be worried about this. I just am trying to speak to those people who, when I tweeted that Paul was out, said, oh, here we go again. It's same old Chris Paul already getting hurt. I think that's a little bit of an overreaction, to say the least. So that is what I wanted to put out there for those people. But broadly speaking, I do think the fact that we are already seeing Paul be one of the players who the Suns are taking things slowly for is not a surprise. But it's worth revisiting the general idea of where Paul's going to be health-wise, and obviously we can't predict that, but how is the team going to proactively try to keep him healthy? What kinds of adjustments might we see? I expect, judging from Monty last season, he's going to play things as conservatively as is possible with regard to winning. To be fair, Ricky Rubio was the only player last year who Monty really was careful with. We saw him routinely extend guys like Mikal Bridges up to 35, 40 minutes a night, especially toward the tail end of that break. In the bubble, we saw Cam Johnson playing a ton of minutes, Devin Booker playing a ton of minutes. But Rubio consistently was lower. That was even true in the bubble when they were treating every game as a must-win. Rubio would be lower, you know, maybe 30, 32 minutes when the rest of the guys were up there. Payne would play with the starters a little bit, which is what we saw in the preseason game. So that's worth noting, because a point guard who is very important to the team, who is a little bit older, Monty did rest Rubio when he needed it. He was more willing to let Rubio sit when he was injured. He was more willing to keep his minutes capped, and on and on. So I think that's worth noting. I think obviously everybody in this organization knows how important Paul's health is to this team. So I would say it will be on him more so than anybody to communicate with the staff, to keep track himself, to be communicative with the training staff, to be on his regimen, which, you know, we have no reason to doubt he would be. That's where I think we'll land. So what that brings me to is Chris Paul's appearance on JJ Redick's Old Man and the Three podcast, which everyone should go listen to. I actually still have a few minutes to go, but I started taking notes the minute that I got to the part where Chris Paul told a really interesting story. First of all, hats off to the Thunder organization. Everything we hear was how much of a resounding success the partnership between them and Paul was. And on Paul's side, this was yet another example. Basically, he tells the story that after the trade, or maybe as the trade's getting kind of finalized, Presti and Donovan, maybe some other members of the Thunder front office, they basically sit down with him for a presentation where they lay out a plan for him. They tell him all these players, Steve Nash, John Stockton, Jason Kidd, who were great guards at an advanced age. Come to find out, Chris Paul says he doesn't actually really like those types of comps in the first place, so I guess all of us need to keep that in mind. But then they basically tell him, the way you're going to get maximized, the way you're going to do what we need you to do, what you know you're capable of, is to basically play less games, to play about 60 or so games. Obviously, that team has a lot of guard depth, and they tell him that. He says, no. He told Redick, I'm going to let you finish your silly little presentation, but I'm not going to sit out if I feel fine. And then, obviously, we all have heard the stories probably, but it's worth remembering, which is the vegan diet that he started in June of 2019. He talks all about it all the time. Talked a lot about it last year as he was getting started with it. But he said a quote in the interview that I thought was really interesting. He said, I'm a totally different person than I was when I left the Rockets. This is just paraphrasing, obviously, because of the confidence that I have in my body. And that stuck out to me because I just think it's been really ignored about the rest idea of rest when it comes to Paul, is that yes, it's ideally a good thing, but there's also other ways to do it. You can keep a guy's minutes low, but have him play every night. You can, you know, maybe there's going to be times where we see Monty kind of milk an injury that's not a super significant injury, just like he did with Rubio. But I think the idea that Chris Paul is going to become one of these guys who just like doesn't play back-to-backs or is just super, super, super careful in that way, I don't buy that happening. I just don't think that it's going to happen. I think a guy who's talking about the confidence he has physically, the relationship he has with his new coaching staff, the diet that he's on, the idea that he wants to be here and all that, I don't think we have the makings of a player who's going to be kind of picky about his well-being. So obviously, you know, the Suns need to be careful, but I wouldn't say we're going to see them veer so far to being precious about Chris Paul's health. So there's nothing to worry about from this right ankle soreness. And if anything, we should probably trust Paul even more to know his own limitations and have a relationship with Wani to make it work over the course of this regular season for the Suns. Let's get into takeaways from preseason game number one, including what maybe there is to worry about if Paul does have his minutes limited or has to miss a couple of games here or there. But before that, I want to tell you about the title sponsor of today's show, which is Built Bar. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON at checkout, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Back here recapping preseason game number one. That was, again, a 119-105 loss at the hands of the Utah Jazz. The Phoenix Suns looking for revenge, so to speak, on Monday night here. Hope you guys will join me Wednesday, though, when I bring Ricky O'Donnell of SB Nation, longtime great basketball writer over there. We're going to talk best 25 players in 2025, an interesting exercise that the SB Nation guys used to do all the time. They got into some Devin Booker stuff over on Mike Prada's podcast and didn't really bring up DeAndre Ayton all that much. So we'll dig into that with him, dig into how that impacts draft strategy, kind of like the ceiling of a guy. Should that matter? Should it matter that the Suns don't have a ton of those guys you could see blowing up in the next few years, etc.? Should be a great show. Hope you'll check that one out. Let's get into this preseason game. My first takeaway here, as I said leading into that break, is what's going to happen if Paul does miss time, or even if he's perfectly healthy, what happens when he's on the bench? Because campaign was not good. Admitted, you know, self-admitted not a great game on the part of campaign. 4 of 10 from the field, 3 turnovers, 30 minutes, team worst minus 20 during his time on the floor. In a pretty nice opportunity for him coming in to start the game with Paul on the bench, you know, out with the right ankle soreness. So a golden opportunity, you know, maybe he might not see 30 minutes in a preseason game the rest of the preseason here. So it is disappointing, I think, if you're the Suns, to see that Payne did not play so well. And surely he was disappointed in himself, said, "I need to be better." Said it was good to shake off the rust, basically reiterated what Monty had been preaching all week, which is that this game, Mikal Bridges said it as well, this game is not, these games, all the preseason, not to be taken lightly. I mean, a lot of the same sort of talk that we heard around the bubble, which was like, you know, these games could be overlooked, they could just be practice for some teams, they could just be, you know, let's take advantage of getting back out on the court and whatever. And the Suns came to win those games, and they won every single one of them, and that's how they wanted to approach the preseason. Obviously, you know, you're not going to run guys into the ground minutes-wise, and you're not going to be, you know, making mistakes as far as overexerting it when, you know, calling plays that are too sophisticated. It's preseason. It's still preseason, but they wanted to win. They wanted to win. They really did, and so Payne, I think that speaks to a lot of his disappointment. I would say, you know, from what I noticed, there was, in the bubble, Payne always seemed to have a plan. He was excellent in transition, excellent creating threes and creating layups for DeAndre Ayton especially. And that was what I was hoping to see from him in the starting lineup this time. And it just felt like he didn't play with the same kind of pace that he did. He didn't feel like he was controlling the game when he had the ball in his hands, or kind of knew what was going to happen kind of as it was, like before it happened. And obviously that's a skill you need as a point guard, and that's one that I felt like when the pace was so high in the bubble, that was something I thought he did a really good job at. And It did not translate to preseason game number one here. 3 turnovers is really not great for him. I would say one of the bigger things that caused the lack of a plan, or at least for him to kind of second guess himself in that way, is the 3-pointers were not falling. And if we're talking about Payne, that's going to obviously be something to watch, because this is a player who had never even put together a stretch of, you know, again, it was only 8 games, but he had never even really had a season where he was above average from 3. He had one 25-game stretch in Chicago where he shot 39%, but 52% on 29 attempts in the bubble is just unrealistic to say is the normal for him now. So how that pull-up 3 especially works for him, if it's a real weapon, something that teams have to respect in transition in the half court the way it was in the bubble, obviously he becomes a very difficult player to guard, and I think you feel a lot better about him. If it's not falling like it wasn't in that preseason game, you kind of see how things start to break down, because he doesn't have like a mid-range game so much. He doesn't have amazing scoring inside. Like, the threes, passing, and defense is kind of his recipe for success in the NBA. And if that 3's not falling, there's almost not enough there. And so that's what I'm watching. Can that pull-up 3 fall for him? Can they put him in lineups where maybe some other ball handlers can get him like some rhythm threes to get him going? Those 3's not falling, I think, really hurt his confidence. And then that trickle down just led to a game that wasn't super effective for Cam Payne in his start. Transitioning to the other Cam, actually, here in my second takeaway from this game, is Cam Johnson giving up open threes, not taking any open threes. He didn't take a single three. I mean, not even just open one. He didn't take any. He was one or four from the field, eventually left the game with a little bit of his left calf cramped up a little bit, and they were working it out on the sideline, but he seemed to be fine. Monty said he would be good after the game. I would expect, honestly, from the sound of it, he'd be back on the court as soon as this next game. So nothing to worry about from the injury, but he just did not look like the same confident green light Cam Johnson that we're used to seeing. And this was actually something that I think was illustrated well by Mike Vigil, who came on the show a couple weeks ago. He's of the Timeline podcast, and he had some clips of Duncan Robinson from the bubble, if I'm remembering right, showing how Robinson, when he's even coming off an off-ball screen, the way he can create separation. I mean, he was kind of joking, it's almost like a travel, and it is, but whatever, they don't call it, and it's not necessarily like by the book the most obvious travel in the world. It's sort of a gather step that shuffles his feet a little bit, but Cam doesn't really necessarily have that so much. And I guess you could say that makes it harder for him to feel comfortable, but I don't buy that, because we saw it all season long last year that his high release, quick release, and overall just his size at 6'8", 6'9", means that he can get the ball off, means he can get his shot off without much trouble, even if there is a defender in his face. The real issue, aside from that, that might be something to watch longer term, but the real thing to look for is he just wasn't even taking those or pump faking and giving them. Like, he was driving when there was an open three or a relatively open three. And of course, that's not a bad thing all the time, but that's just not Cam's game. Cam's game is you're out there to make threes. You're out there to space the floor. You're out there to screen for somebody and then get open, or run off a screen to get open, or, you know, rotate around as the ball moves and the defense shifts and create a good shot for yourself that way. Nothing about Cam's game is like, you know, attack a closeout with the dribble drive and then like throw up a floater. You need to have the ability to attack that closeout. You need to have maybe like a one dribble pull up, two dribble pull up, you know, one dribble and a pass back out to the perimeter. All that stuff you have to keep the defense honest. But what you don't need to see from Cam Johnson is trying to make stuff happen with the ball in his hands off of a closeout. That's not his game. It's not why he's out there. It's not what this team drafted him for, not what made him good last year, anything. And we just saw that in a weirdly high level yesterday in the game. So something to watch for sure, because if that's what he's trying to do, you know, that takes away a lot of what makes him, you know, worth playing. You know, like, I think there will be, sir, I went into this season, I still think it. I mean, I'm not going to change my opinion on one game, but one of the things that I think is that you could see Cam potentially close some games sometimes over Jay Crowder if his shot's falling, if they need some offense on the floor, etc. And if Cam won't take those shots, we know Crowder has no problem taking shots. So that's not even the way for him to earn playing time. So I don't know if that was just jitters from the first game, if his legs didn't feel right under him, if you know, maybe it was something that the coaching staff is emphasizing to try some of that stuff out since it is only preseason. But we just can't see games where Cam only takes only zero threes. Of course, that's, I'm saying only. If he takes no threes, that's a complete failure on the part of the Suns offense. He's one of their best weapons as a shooter. So let's get into takeaways number 3 and 4 and close the show out with maybe a little what to watch for in the next preseason game. Before that, though, I want to tell you guys again about the best tasting protein bar ever, and that is Built Bar. The new and improved Built Bar is even more delicious with 6 new flavors, including caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, apple almond crisp, and even more. Built Bar is great for the health conscious sports fan or anyone trying to lose or maintain weight. Really, whatever your need is, it's very diet friendly because it is low in calories, low in sugar, and then high in protein and fiber. Most diets have some room for that, right? Nothing too bad in here. Very low sugar. Best of all, right now, every Built Bar order, if you use our promo code, gets a free cooler with purchase. If you're out in the desert hiking, quadding, golfing, sometimes these things can still melt, even though it is only 60, 70, 50 degrees, whatever it is in Arizona right now, they can still melt. The sun is obviously very unforgiving. So that is perfect for Valley sports fans. Take advantage of it. Try out those six new flavors. Go to builtbar.com right now. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, that's all one word, the name of our network, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, again, LOCKEDON, for 20% off and that free cooler while supplies last when you go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. All right, we are back here closing out the show talking about the Suns' 119-105 loss to the Utah Jazz in preseason game number one. What I wanted to talk about to close the show here is the perimeter defense. That was something Monty identified immediately when he was speaking with us post-game. Monty's always been very big on pickup points, and to give you guys a little bit on what that is, think Damian Lillard, Goran Dragic. It doesn't have to be guys who can pull up shoot. That's always what my mind has thought when I hear him talking about it. It's not always that, because Goran Dragic is an example he's used before. That's not a guy who's going to pull up from 35 feet or whatever, try half-court shots like apparently Dame is in practice. So it's not just that kind of guy. And that's what we saw in this preseason game, because while Donovan Mitchell can take some of those, he didn't really do that very much in this game, and they were still, the Suns coaching staff was still not pleased with the performance. So pickup points don't have to mean getting guys, getting in their face when they're about to pull up. It's getting up to them, getting up to the ball, guarding the ball well at the point that the game plan calls for, so that you're ready for a screen, or you're ready for the initiation of the offense, or in some cases, you are ready for that pull-up three. So that was a big thing, a point of emphasis post-game for Monty was not letting guys get all the way into the half court and get settled and get comfortable before the ball handler picks up the ball. We also saw sometimes where they were pressuring. We know Cam Payne and Javon Carter like to do that, but they got behind it, where the ball handle was able to get past the defense, and then all of a sudden now, like, your pickup point was, you know, at the other baseline, and yet you're not guarding the ball once they get actually to their side of the court and start to initiate offense, because you're scrambling to recover. So I would expect more discipline in this upcoming game, especially that's the benefit of having two games against the same opponent in some ways, is you know the personnel now. Payne, Carter, Booker, whoever it is, those guys are going to be able to learn from their mistakes, know who's kind of tends to do what, and I think that can be good, especially on this specific thing of this defense. The other thing on the defense is Monty made a note of not letting DeAndre Ayton, or not having to have DeAndre Ayton clean everything up, where I think he basically made it sound like with that pressure of the ball handler sometimes, or the kind of laziness as far as getting in front of the ball and getting over screens and all the rest, is that there was maybe a little bit of a laziness in terms of we can have DeAndre pick up the pieces for us, clean things up. And they don't obviously want that. It would be frustrating if I was on the coaching staff, honestly, to see them doing that, because this guy's not Rudy Gobert. Like, DeAndre Ayton is a young player still. He has a heap of responsibility this year on this team. But, you know, this team, the Suns, are going to be successful defensively if they defend as a team. That was how they defended in the bubble. That's how they were at their best all last season. So the idea of, like, kind of letting the big man handle everything, I really hope that doesn't become a habit, because that would be just kind of antithetical to what makes them so good. So let's assume the defense gets a little better, because obviously letting up 119 and having guys like Jordan Clarkson just kind of go off is not a good habit to build, not a good place to start your season. The last thing I wanted to hit is Langston Galloway's minutes. Obviously, he came in and was a complete microwave right away. 6 of 10 from the field, 4 of 7 from 3, scored 17 points in only 16 minutes. Obviously, a ton of fun to watch. Obviously, fighting for his own spot in the rotation. And what I really wanted to hit on is some honesty from Galloway post-game. I asked him, what was your mentality coming in? What allowed you to be successful getting open, making shots right away when you checked in? And he basically was like, I know how hard it's going to be to crack this rotation, to get on the floor, and I know that I can't let any of those opportunities slip. So, first of all, that's one of those things we all know, but when a player says it, it kind of puts into perspective how much it's in their own head. And so the fact that Paul Galloway didn't check in until there was only 1 minute left in the third quarter, he was by far the last guard off the bench, played only 2 minutes more than even Abdel Nader. Nader got in the game before him. So I would say Galloway is probably right to feel that way. And if he keeps doing that, he's going to have some minutes to look forward to. So when it comes to Langston Galloway, I just think what we saw from him catching balls off of screens, getting into dribble handoff stuff, even handling the ball a little bit. When he doesn't have his shot, that's what stuck out to me yesterday. When he doesn't have his shot, he passes it up immediately, knowing he might get it back or that there's going to be a better shot there. He's not a gunner in the way of taking bad shots or taking iffy shots or contested shots all the time. He moves the ball, he keeps moving the ball, he rescreens, he comes around the ball, he comes around off the ball to get it back, all the best stuff you want from a role player on offense. And so if he keeps doing that and playing the right way like that and just being so perfect in the role that he has to play, even if other guys are maybe more well-rounded players or more consistent, or I'm sorry, if they're more well-rounded but they're not as consistent, I think Galloway is going to be a better option if things play out like they did last night. Now, I'm not saying last night's just locked in, but it wouldn't surprise me to see some nights like that where Payne's not playing very well, Moore looked just a little creaky, and you know maybe that's because he's older and he's getting his legs under him after the bubble and everything. But there's going to be nights like that, and Galloway's just a hard guy to keep off the floor if everyone else doesn't have it working, because you know he's going to come off the bench and be able to put shots up that are going to have a pretty good shot of going in. So 17 points in 16 minutes is a hell of a debut, a hell of a way to tell your coaching staff you're ready for more minutes. And I wouldn't be surprised if Monty rewards him in preseason game number 2 here tonight against the Jazz. Hopefully that gave you guys a little bit of what to watch for in the upcoming game and what happened in this past one. That's all for today's show, guys. I will be back recapping the second game, hopefully with a guest. We'll see. I like going solo. Tell me how you like it. Again, give me your reviews and ratings over at Apple Podcasts if you have not before. And that's it. Talk to you guys tomorrow.